This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody at TFMR. Hey, guess what? It is pre-FOMC day here on Wednesday the 16th, and I've got a special treat for you. You know how from time to time my old friend Dan Amadori likes to hook me up with some of the movers and shakers of the mining industry, and it's great for us to get a chance to get to know some more people, find out some information about some companies that maybe we didn't know anything about, but yet present a compelling opportunity. And you know what? On a day like today, I think it's perfect to have another podcast just like that. So I'm joined today by a gentleman by the name of Joe Carrabba. Joe is the executive chairman of a company called Winston Gold. But prior to that, he has decades of experience in the precious metals and mining industry, working for companies like Newmont and Rio Tinto. And now, like I said, executive chairman of Winston Gold. And we're going to get into that and what that company is all about here in just a minute. But first of all, Joe, thank you so much for joining me.
Craig, I appreciate the time with you today. That's excellent.
And I am thrilled to get a chance to visit with you, Joe, because I really think we're living in some amazing times, some historic times. You know, we've all been, at least for the last 5 or 6 years, kind of wandering in the desert from a precious metals landscape. You know, nobody liked us. Nobody wanted to talk about us. The mining shares, all they ever seemed to want to do is go down. And in the end, we were building some pretty compelling opportunities that are now beginning to be realized. You know, before we talk about Winston Gold, though, I mean, I'd be remiss. I'd be crazy if I didn't spend some time picking your brain about what you're seeing in the industry. I don't want to make it sound, you know, date you too much, Joe, but you've been at this for a while. So you've got, you know, you've seen bull markets. You've seen bull markets. You've seen bear markets. You've seen good times and bad. What do you think about 2020 and going forward? How good do you feel about the market at present?
Well, I think starting with the macro is certainly the right place to do in any of these business decisions that we look at. And, you know, the gold is at a precious metal side is particularly, I think, appealing right now, given the turmoil in the world that we're seeing. Throughout the world, the COVID has certainly slammed the door shut on the economies of the world. The amount of debt that the governments are building that is going to have to be dealt with. You know, hyperinflation seems like sooner or later it's got to come around with that. And I think it's just trust in looking at these paper currencies now, you know, that aren't backed by anything, Craig, as we go forward with that. I mean, that all bodes well for gold. Something has to be used as a standard for trading and a store of value for people that becomes, if you will, non-political and is got the same value when you carry it around the world and is transportable that goes with it. If you look at the inflows that gold that's going in right now into the ETFs and in the central banks, you know, they're at very high levels that are going in. I mean, particularly for these governments that are buying gold to back their currencies, they see it coming. It's not always the U.S. dollar or some of these stronger currencies that we look at, but you certainly see those inflows going into these governments to back their currency when the hyperinflation comes. When you look at all that, I think we're just at the beginning of the cycle. You've watched this go from, you know, staying around $1,100 for, you know, almost a decade, if you will, between $900 and $1,100, very little interest in the gold and silver industry. And we really struggled to get through that. As a result of that, you know, there wasn't a lot of exploration dollars that were put out. There haven't been any big finds, if you will, in the last couple of decades that go with it. And the amount of gold that's being produced, particularly now, the COVID has hit the mining industry pretty hard. You know, that's shrinking. So there is a supply and demand level that comes into this as well, and just basic economics, as well as the rest of the economics of the world that goes on. So I think we're just at the beginning of this. I think you can see that the M&A is starting up once again, as it always does in a hot cycle. And you see these deals starting to be done as well as it goes. I think we've got a few years run, whatever that means. If I had a crystal ball, we wouldn't be having this conversation tonight. But I do think we can plan on a few years of running. You know, the smart guys that have been through these commodity cycles, you know, when it does go down, and that's not a catastrophic fall off the cliff type of thing, you know, smart miners get ready for that. And they do that in a way by they get very, you're always looking at being as productive as possible, looking into the future of ways to make sure your costs are in the right place. You've got the right people, you've got them retained appropriately, and all of your health and safety and environmental pieces are all in place. So when you do get caught and the price does slump somewhat, you know, you're not caught in the half step and then you have to scramble. And that's certainly the principles that we're building Winston on right now.
Yeah, you know, and Joe, you're where the rubber meets the road there as executive chairman at Winston. And you've been there now for a couple of years and you've invested a lot of your own money in the company because you're so confident in it. Are you sensing, because this is what I keep waiting for. I keep waiting for institutions, people, you know, like Buffett kind of given a green light by buying some Barrick. Are you sensing kind of a some bigger money starting to kind of kick the tires in the industry, looking for places to invest? Are you, you know, because I think that's an important part of a growing bull market.
Yeah, I think certainly we've got a few folks that are starting to sniff around, if you will. I mean, everybody's looking for even the institutions looking for, you know, good, solid, secure places with good management in place to place their money and their bets. And I think we're really starting to separate ourselves, Craig, if you will, from the, you know, it's really a crowded industry in the junior market when you're into development, drilling, those types of things. But as we move closer and closer to production, which we should be in production by sometime in October with the equipment deliveries that we're expecting right now. Yeah, you know, all of a sudden, I think it'll be a whole different ballgame and it'll separate all of those that are on the drill bit right now, which you have to be, and a few years away and speculation of, gee whiz, you might miss the cycle to someone like us that's near production and going to be in production, certainly by before the end of the year. Then all of a sudden, all that risk, you know, goes away and you're starting to produce and have free cash flow, paying the bills and being able to pay the shareholder back. So, yeah, we're certainly going to be in the eyes of some institutions.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's talk about this opportunity that you've taken there at Winston Gold, because I know you spent a long time at Rio Tinto and you had a tremendous career at Newmont. What drew you to Winston? I mean, I think it's fascinating, and we'll put the link on this page, because it's a U.S.-based company. I mean, the property's in Montana, which is beautiful in its own right. Good reason to go up there and check it out. But it's here it is, U.S.-based. This area has been mined since the Civil War era, so we know there's gold in them Thar Hills up there, Joe. But what drew you? What drew you to Winston Gold? What was it that really turned you on?
Well, I have to say that, again, it's a, kind of an interesting story. When I retired from Newmont last June after we consummated the Goldcorp deal, you know, I was really looking around in different places to go. I had a number of different inquiries. And, you know, you have to sift through those. I mean, through the years, obviously, I've got a pretty good idea of how to do due diligence on companies, and I can go through them pretty quickly before you have to get into the data rooms and do those types of things. I actually had an incidental hit on LinkedIn with that. I usually ignore it. For some reason, I looked a little further into the company. I had several phone calls with Murray Nye, the CEO. I liked Murray's ethical and moral presentations that came with it. I did my due diligence tabletop and said, hey, Murray, I'm going to come out. I went out. I spent a few days from the drill pad to the core shed to the geologic model to the financial model. Really liked what I saw. It ticked all the boxes. They've got all their permits in place. Montana has been exceptionally friendly state to work in.
Yep.
It's not that they support any environmental laws, but you know they're working business friendly, not opposed to you. So when I saw that, I immediately jumped in and has been building my investment in the company. Let's say I'm now the largest shareholder. I do have a substantial amount of money in this business. And so when I do talk to shareholders, one, I've got their own interest at heart. You know, this certainly isn't a pump and dump, as you say, in the industry that goes with it. I'm in this for the long term, just like every other shareholder. I don't want to be diluted any more than anybody else, even though I do explain, you know, folks, there's only a couple of ways to raise money and equity is one of them. But trust me, I've got your best interests at heart.
Yeah,
because it's my interest. Well,
that, right.
That goes. So I started working with Murray, traveled out at pre-COVID probably once a month for a week or so at a time, and really got my hands dirty into this thing and really enjoyed it. We've got I thought one of our biggest risks, Greg, would be, you know, people and talent. How do you attract talent into a company that is, you know, may not make it financially to get into production early on? And I have to say, we've really attracted a great group of people. We've got a chief geologist that came from Cortez out of Barrick's organization. Our mining engineer was up at Pogo in Alaska. We've got a metallurgist that just came from down the road at Siding Stillwater. That's getting the mill refurbished and getting ready it to go for our launch for production as well. And some really outstanding top lead miners and the folks that have followed in with them. I'm very proud to say in the about the 16 months that we've been driving the tunnel to get to the ore veins and all that, we haven't had any safety accidents and we haven't had any COVID related problems either. So couldn't be happier than those types of performance that are coming with it. We found a custom mill 35 miles away that wasn't being used. We signed that up in March, and we've been doing about $250,000 worth of rehab on that. It's got a lined pond. We'll have an enclosed cycle for the water, so we won't be discharging any water either. So, you know, it's a complete system from the mine to the mill, and we've got control on both and good leadership in it. So that's what's really attracted me and what's really helped de-risk the project as we move forward.
I tell you, and folks that, you know, here on this site that have heard me do these interviews before, I mean, you know, and I've learned from some of the best, Eric Sprott or Rick Rule, you name it. They always talk about jurisdiction and team. You know, is it how high quality are the people? Do they know what they're doing? And so obviously we're crossing both of those boxes here, which now clearly has me interested. And so I start looking further, Joe, and I see something from Murray Nye, the gentleman you mentioned that's the CEO, and he says your goal, and I didn't even know, I didn't realize you're going online in October. That's next month, for crying out loud, and your goal is to get to 50,000 ounces?
That's right. We think we can accomplish that in the next 2 years as we move forward. In the first full 12 months of production, we expect to do 30,000 ounces. In the meantime, we've purchased another drill, and we're pulling it underground as we speak, so we can start drilling on what was the main vein and the main mine that was there called the Custer mine, versus the other two veins that we're going to start processing first. We got on the other two veins first just because they're more shallow, and we could get to them quicker, and we've got a relatively flat tunnel to go in for the haulage way that goes with it. So we will begin drilling on the Custer, looking in the blocks that haven't been mined in the Custer. And that's where, you know, again, it's adjacent, if you will. I mean, with each other, there's actually a tunnel that can drive from one side of the parallel and block 93 veins that we're on in through to the Custer. It's that close. And then we've got it. So that's the brownfield upside, if you will. This is a greenfield. Go out and find another 20,000 tons. Or ounces rather, and then we can go ahead and move forward on the Custer as soon as the drilling is done. The tunnel is open. We've reworked it, so we can get into the old workings pretty immediately. It's not like it's new ground. We can go in and rehab that tunnel and get right to work.
That's fantastic. All right, so I'm going to try to have a little fun now, Joe. Okay. You're not producing at present, but we're hoping to start in October. You think maybe 30,000? Well, this is kind of worse. Going to say 20,000 ounces. Do you have a rough idea? I mean, what'll be your cost per ounce to get that stuff pulled out of there at that point? Have you kind of put pencil to paper and figured that out?
Oh yeah, we have a very good financial model. We recruited an analyst out of Toronto that I had known that had done a lot of this type of stuff in the mining world. So we have an excellent economic model. A financial model and a good budget that's up to speed. We review it on a monthly basis as we go. So we're projecting our cost right now at about $900 to $950 an ounce, Craig, all in.
Okay. All right. So if I'm just doing some math here, Joe, And let's say you don't even do the 30,000, you get 20,000 out and you make about $1,000 per ounce. That's $20 million, right?
There you go.
And your market cap, if I understand this right, is in the U.S. about what, 30 million, 40?
Today, 30, 31 million after we close today.
Okay. See, I'm not real good with numbers, but that sounds to me like that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's where, and believe me, when we look at that, I mean, they're so eye-popping, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, if you run out scenarios on a number of ounces, you know, as we always do, you know, from 30 to 20 to 15, and you up your cost, you know, from 900 to 1,000 to 1,100, there's in any of these scenarios that still doesn't give just a really good payback when it comes through it. And we test this constantly and try and risk adjust it constantly as well as we go through. And, you know, you're always looking for that fatal flaw. You know, you got to be a little bit paranoid to be good in this business and always looking behind you for that burning platform, right, so that you can just get better and continuously improve as you go forward. And we're constantly doing that.
That's really exciting stuff, Joe. And you wonder then, too, you know, if we're right, not only in your opinion, but my opinion, too, that this bull market is really just getting underway and the next year is going to be pretty exciting. And you start thinking about higher prices. You mentioned the kind of, I don't know, is malinvestment the right word? Lack of investment, if you will, by mines in new production. You know, it's not that we're at peak gold or anything like that, but certainly a lot of big companies are dealing with depleting resources out there. What else have I missed? The story sure sounds pretty good in terms of what you've got going up there.
You know, I think it's just it's our turn, if you will, when you look at how the stock markets are working today and what's the flavor of the month, if you will. I mean, we certainly went through the cannabis cycle.
Yep.
You know, I mean, a few folks made some quick money, but a lot of people lost money. They went through that. Then we went through the cryptocurrencies cycle, and everybody was excited about that. And, you know, the good old steady performers, the gold and precious metals just got lost behind. But now it's come back into cycle. You know, those two have rode the wave, if you will, with that type of money that's come in. And people are back and talking about gold and talking about it for all the right reasons. You know, it's not the flavor of the month, if you will, but it just makes solid sense for people to put part of their portfolio into something like gold, like they always have, to certainly prevent the hyperinflation or if these currencies, you know, go sideways, given all the debt that's out there. I think it's certainly our time. And but it's a solid commodity. It's been around, you know, for thousands of years. And it's coming back up to its tried and true self. And like you say, you get an investor like Warren Buffett for the first time, know that it's put money into the gold industry. Boy, that ought to be a big bellwether and a big sign for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Joe, I'm sold. I'm going to be buying some shares. I didn't even know of this company a couple of days ago. But having looked at it myself and having spoken with you, I'm going to be getting some. I can't do it immediately because everything's in my IRA, so I got to sell something.
Really appreciate that.
Well, I got to sell something, and it's got to settle. And then, of course, I never front-run anybody anyway. So everybody can front-run me on this one if they want to get right to it. Again, Winston Gold. I've got symbols. Let me know if this is right. Up in Canada, WGC. And then World Golf Championship, right? Aren't there?
That's
yeah, how can anybody not remember that one? And then down here in the States, it's WGMCF. Does that sound right?
Yes, sir. That's correct. Both of them.
Joe, that's fantastic. All right. So next up, we're going to be looking to see, hopefully see some stories about production starting as soon as next month, right?
That's correct. Yep. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, I'm going to check with Dan. We'll see if we can check back with you in a few months and see how things are going. I think this is a very exciting story. Joe, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real pleasure to get a chance to visit with you.
Same here, Craig. Thank you. And to all your listeners as well, I really appreciate your time and interest in the company.
It's been my pleasure. And from all of us here at TFMR, thank you for listening. And again, please check out Winston Gold.